The sociologist Robert Bella found proof in this address that America already had a civil religion, defined by the obligation, both collective and individual, to carry out God's will on earth. The New York Times' C.L. Sulzberger wrote that the inaugural appeal to anybody who believed there was still room on this earth for the kingdom of heaven. John F. Kennedy represented the cult of personality tradition of American liberalism. He wanted to be a great man in the mold of Wilson and the Roosevelts. He was more concerned with guns than butter. Lyndon Baines Johnson, a Southern populist ward healer, born and bred in the New Deal tradition, was, on the other hand, all about the butter. Johnson could neither be a warrior nor a priest. If he couldn't be the liberal lion his predecessor wanted to be, he could embody the maternal aspect of progressivism as the caring and protective shepherd overseeing his flock. He would transform the Kennedy personality cult into a cult of government. To this end, LBJ, a crafty and clever politician, made shameless use of JFK's assassination, converting it into precisely the sort of transformative national crisis that had always eluded Kennedy himself. His legacy, the modern welfare state, represents the ultimate fruition of a progressive statist tradition going back to Woodrow Wilson. As we've seen, Wilson and the progressives laid the intellectual foundations for the divinized liberal state. The progressives, it should be remembered, did not argue for totalitarianism because the war demanded it. They argued for totalitarianism and were delighted that the war made it possible. But World War I also proved to be the undoing of the progressive dream of American collectivism. The total mobilization of the war and the stupidity of the war in the first place reawakened in its aftermath the traditional American resistance to such tyranny. In the 1920s, the progressives sulked while Americans enjoyed remarkable prosperity and the Russians and Italians, in their view, had all the fun of remaking a world. The Great Depression came along just in time. It put the progressives back in the driver's seat. As we've seen, FDR brought no new ideas to government. He merely dusted off the ideas he had absorbed as a member of the Wilson administration, but he left the state immeasurably strengthened and expanded. Indeed, it is worth recalling that the origins of the modern conservative movement stem from an instinctive desire to shrink the state back down to a manageable size after the war. But the Cold War changed that, forcing many conservatives to support a large national security state in order to defeat communism. This decision on the part of foreign policy hawks created a permanent schism on the American right. Nonetheless, even though Cold War conservatives believed in a limited government, their support for anti-communism prevented any conceivable attempt to actually get one. Kennedy's contribution to the permanent welfare state was, for the most part, stylistic, as we've seen, but his martyrdom provided a profound psychological crisis that proved useful for the promotion of liberal goals and ideas.